Comics.
Movies.
Music.
Video games.
Technology.
Blu-ray.
Television.
This is the HHW LOD Podcast Network.
This is Out Now with Aaron and Abe. I am Aaron, and as always, this is...
Abe! Yay!
Out Now is a film podcast, as Abe and I discussing new movies weekly. We also bring in a little discussion about the latest movie trailers, box office results and predictions, the instead or because of, where we talk about past movies, games, and other fun stuff. This is our 50th episode spectacular. Woo! And
yeah, yay!
We are recording live in front of a studio audience. Woo! It is in color, in 3D, so I hope everyone has their special Out Now glasses, full of surprises, including evil twins. We have a brand new contest of a pretty sweet prize, and a promise that someone will die at the end of this episode.
Aww.
All of those things are going to happen and more. I don't know what the and more is, but yeah, they're going to happen. I guess I probably should mention what we're talking about this episode. It's on the Hunger Games. We're talking about the Hunger Games. Massively popular book series now turned into a film. And yeah, we're going to review that along with do a bunch of other stuff. And yeah, joining us to discuss the Hunger Games and to join us in our celebration of the 50th episode, we have writer for Damn Dirty Blog and the tribute most likely to die first come time for the next round of the Hunger Games, Jordan Grout.
Hello!
And from Just Seen It, and perhaps one strong and independent woman that could teach Abe a thing or two about his obvious misogyny, Liz Manager.
Hello.
Wow, thanks for the libel. Slander.
Slander's spoken, so yeah. You got it there. Okay. All right, so a few announcements. This is our 50th episode. I don't think I mentioned that quite enough, but it's our 50th episode.
Wait,
and we do a contest. Oh, yeah, it's our 50th. 50.
Okay, 50.
We've actually done way more than 50 episodes, but this is our official 50th episode. So there you go. What announcements do I have? As I mentioned, there's going to be a contest. We're going to announce that contest later on in the episode, so stay tuned if you want to learn how you can win a pretty sweet prize package that I put together.
Also 3D.
It's also in 3D. Yeah, that's not even a lie. It's also in 3D. And, of course, we've been doing this for 50 episodes now, so clearly there's someone that, you know, one person that listens to us at least. So if anyone else does, please feel free to send your iTunes reviews and ratings over to iTunes. Really simple to do. Easy. Couple clicks. Maybe a sentence or something. Takes no time at all. Helps out the show. So, with all that said, let's move on to Know Everybody, where we ask each other some questions and try to set the tone for this episode and get to know everybody. So, with that said, Abe, let's start with
you. Sounds great. All right. Let's go with Liz.
Yes.
If you could put Michael Fassbender in this movie, where would you put Michael Fassbender in The Hunger Games?
Right next to me while we're watching it, because he's beautiful. And that is my answer.
Woo-hoo!
Yes. Yay!
50th party hijinks. Yeah, I like that answer.
Thank you. Okay, so Aaron?
Yes.
If movies were forced to fight to death in an arena, which one would you pick to win?
Movies were forced to fight to death in the arena. Which one do I pick to win?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so it's the ultimate showdown between movies. And
all movies.
One's going to emerge victorious,
mm-hmm.
covered in blood and some kind of a rapier. I didn't say sword for some reason. I won't rape you.
Very specific. Yeah. You didn't even say broadsword. You said rapier.
You know what? No, I'm gonna say Bronson.
Damn, that's what I was thinking.
Bronson. I think regardless of like other movies that are better than Bronson or what, I think Bronson's just gonna like just tumble out of there, just like bleeding and bruised and bloody, but like it's gonna be like, damn, I did it, guys. And he goes right back to prison.
Forcing people to oil him up.
Yeah, exactly. I should note that Jordan's sitting right next to me for this podcast, a rarity that we're doing in-studio podcast sessions. Also, we do have a live studio audience, as I pointed out before. Okay. I like that question. That was good.
Thanks.
Okay, Jordan.
Hello.
Throughout time, we've seen a lot of Versus movies. What Versus movie would you like to see?
Ray Charles versus Stevie Wonder.
Is that also starring Jamie Foxx?
Why not?
He's in both roles.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, I guess. If you could put either the Warhorse or the Lorax in the Human Centipede Part 3, which one would it be?
Abe, clearly there's one thing you need to be thinking of right now. It's that if you put the Lorax in, every part of that centipede will be getting free mustache rides constantly.
Oh my God. I feel like the Lorax in the Human Centipede. I don't know. It'd be like the most colorful part, I guess. I can't really see a horse as a part of the Human Centipede. That's just, I think that's eagle in most 50 states. Maybe not in Puerto Rico, but, you know.
Did you see I Don't Know How She Does It?
Aaron.
Yeah. All right.
If the Predator was in the Hunger Games, would he be the last to survive, or would they actually just let Katniss win?
I mean, come on. Let's, this is the Predator we're talking about. It's not like, he's facing off against little children, okay? He's got stealth. Does he have all his weapons?
He's got his stealth and he's got his claws, but he doesn't have his plasma cannon.
It's over. No. Yeah, Predator wins. Come on. He's got all he needs.
I should have asked if Arnold Schwarzenegger was in there.
That's the Running Man. Yeah. Movie. Okay. Liz.
Yes.
This is our 15th episode, as I've said many times. Favorite 1950s movie?
Ooh. Oh, gosh. Rebel Without a Cause. That's like late 50s, right?
I believe so.
I'm Googling furiously. Yeah, 55. Woo-hoo! Yeah, definitely Rebel
Without a Cause. There you go. All right, good. Yeah, nice. Good having an answer, because I had like a whole list of movies ready to read off if you didn't know.
To show me up. But Sweet Smell of Success is a good tie, I would have to say.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Great movie. Abe,
yes.
A very topical question for you. Have you seen Heaven's Gate? And if so, what did you think about it?
I did not see Heaven's Gate, and I think it's okay.
I've seen Heaven's Gate, and I think it's long.
It's so long.
Is it a movie that is worth checking out, in your opinion, Liz?
It's taken us 4 months to watch the whole thing.
Oh, my gosh.
Abe, here comes a little movie history for you. The Heaven's Gate is from the director of The Deer Hunter.
Yes.
You've heard of The Deer Hunter.
Michael Cimino. Okay.
Michael. And after The Deer Hunter, he kind of had carte blanche to kind of make whatever he wanted. So he made this basically like an epic Western. And it turned into this colossally over-budgeted monstrosity of a film that bankrupted a movie studio and has gone down as one of the biggest film disasters of all time.
Man, so he's like... But it stars Crystal Stumps.
Well, at least those movies trying to make money.
This cast is great, though. I'm looking at the IMDb page.
Shyamalan didn't bankrupt any studios of his movies.
Yeah. Yes. But yeah, this cast looks great.
Yeah. It's got Chris Christopherson.
Yeah. John
and some other folks.
Bridges?
Yeah.
Christopher Walken's in there.
Yeah, Walken's in there. He's talking Walken. Okay, any more? Jordan, you have another question, right?
I guess this goes to anybody. Everybody. Hello. If you could have another historical figure battle supernatural beings, who would it be, and what would they fight?
It'd be John F. Kennedy finding the second gunman.
Like, sort of like beyond the grave?
Yeah, he'd be like zombie John F. Kennedy.
It'd be JFK Ghost Hunter?
That actually sounds kind of like some kind of Blade Runner-ish kind of movie.
Because of all the ghosts?
I can see like John F. Kennedy in like this nice little raincoat. Anyway,
I put Thomas Jefferson in a blaxploitation movie.
Black Dynamite 2?
Yeah, it'd be a descendant of Thomas Jefferson in Black Dynamite 2.
Wait, does it have to be a president or it's just a figure?
Just a historical figure.
Okay, I pick Charlotte Bronte fighting the Ghost Rider ghost.
Ghost Rider ghost? Oh, nice.
Yes.
Okay, so that was something. That was no everybody. And yeah, let's move on now to something less ridiculous, I hope, and talk about some latest movie trailers. And first up, the first trailer we're going to talk about is from fan request. We got this request to talk about this trailer. It is called The FP.
No.
And it's not going to be surprising if not too many people offhand have not heard of The FP, but The FP is basically a post-apocalyptic film based around the idea of people doing DDR matches to the death.
Hey, man. It's in the Fraser Park, right? They take that seriously.
That's right. Here, I'll read a brief description. Two rival gangs fight for control of Fraser Park, FP, a deadly arena in competitive dance fight video game Beat Beat Revolution. Yeah. This exists, and it's coming soon to theaters, so let's talk a little bit about it. Abe, what do you think of the trailer for this movie?
Obviously, if you just saw this trailer, I read some reviews and I've listened to some folks about it, but if you just saw this trailer, the way that I kind of just positioned myself to see it, it's ridiculous. it's insanely ridiculous. There's tons of, like, giant space boots. They're doing DDR. I mean, come on. And they're taking this, like, as seriously as they can, but I've heard that the acting's all right in it. And so I'm actually kind of curious to see it, just to see how either ridiculously awesome it is or just how much of a fail it's going to be. So I'm actually kind of curious to check it out.
Cool. Liz?
You know, there's something really sweet and genuine to the trailer. Like, it doesn't get really goofy like, you know, an esoteric sports movie, Will Ferrell type of thing. And I just think it's strangely understated. I didn't even get the joke to like 10 seconds in, which is like one third for a trailer. I'm looking forward to it. I think it looks hilarious.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same ballpark there where it's like, this movie exists, but I'm strangely intrigued by what's going on, and I'd like to see more of it. So, yeah.
Yeah, it reminds me a lot of Vampire Hunter, where they're doing, like, just this absurd concept, but treating it in, like, this straight-faced
right.
way.
Yeah.
And it reminds me a lot of, like, those 80s films. Like
Flashdance.
Warriors.
Yeah.
The Warriors?
Yeah. Or like those like underdog classics almost.
I got a bro vibe from it too, where they're like we ride
That's
together.
That's true, yeah.
like fist pump. Yeah, that movie. It looks like something I want to watch apparently.
Yes.
So I believe the FP might even be in very limited release right now, but I believe it spreads. What? Let me see where it spread. Yeah, I think it opened March 18th on a very limited amount of screens, and it's probably going to spread somewhat wider before being pretty much available on video on demand or on Blu-ray and DVD. So, look for the FP, I guess, if you're intrigued by two rival gangs fighting for control over a park, playing DDR to the death against each other. Sentences I wish I could say more, honestly. Okay, so our next trailer we're going to talk about is let's talk about the Twilight Breaking Dawn Part 2 teaser that we saw.
Yes. Oh my god, I can't wait.
Yeah, is our live studio audience excited for that one?
Hey,
I'm very excited for it.
Okay. So everyone that saw The Hunger Games, and I know there's quite, you know, there's a few of you that saw The Hunger Games this weekend. There was a Twilight trailer that probably debuted in front of almost everybody's theaters. And first off, I've seen these Twilight movies at this point. Not something that I would be able to say maybe a few months ago, but at this point I have. Abe, have you seen any of them?
I've never seen any of them, no.
Jordan, you haven't?
Or I own all of them. No, I don't own all of them, but I've seen them.
Okay. And Liz?
Oh, yeah. I've done my research.
Okay. Okay. So, first off, this trailer is all about spoilers, I guess, if anyone hasn't seen the other Twilight movies. Because clearly there's a certain reveal made aware to people about the nature of one person's character. And yeah, so that was awkward. But more hilarious was the very end of the trailer, where you see a glimpse of something that's prey for somebody else, which made me crack up hysterically.
I mean, the whole thing didn't just make you crack up? They're finally the same temperature now, Aaron.
It didn't make me crack up because Jacob had his shirt on, I believe, throughout the teaser.
They photoshopped that in post-production just for the trailer.
Any other thoughts?
No.
It's finally ending.
It's Bill Condon, though.
It's still Bill Condon.
Yeah.
All right, so if you want more insightful thoughts about Twilight, tune into our podcast that we'll never do on that movie, I guess. Okay.
What?
We'll see. Maybe we'll do a retrospective. Who knows? Right? Would our live audience want a retrospective of Twilight movies?
Yeah.
God, our studio audience sucks.
Pay these guys.
All right, moving on to more serious things, like a Wes Anderson film. The next movie we're going to talk about is Moonrise Kingdom, the newest film from Wes Anderson. And this film has Edward Norton, Bruce Willis, and Jason Schwartzman, and Tilda Swinton, and Francis McDormand. Yeah. It has a pretty solid all-star cast for a Wes Anderson movie. And Bill Murray, of course, because why not? Yeah, best cast is Royal Tenenbaums. Yeah. And it basically takes place, it's about, I guess, star-crossed lovers in summer camp? I guess that's the way to describe it. So I guess, what did you guys think of the trailer, and are you fans of Wes Anderson in general?
I'm new to the party. I rejected Wes Anderson for several years because I thought he was too hipster. But I've come to the table, and I'm kind of excited. I think anything with Frances McDormand in it actually has my name on it, so I'll be there opening day.
Including Transformers 4, if she returns for that scene.
Oh my God, just for her parts, absolutely.
Jordan? Yeah, I mean, even an okay Wes Anderson film is better than like 90% of what's out there. So, and you definitely see his aesthetic in this film. So none of his other films have been like, I guess, period pieces, right?
Because
this definitely does not take place present day.
I don't know. It might.
Really? Yeah. It definitely doesn't look like it.
Well, I would argue that a lot of his films
don't necessarily have a
modern aesthetic to them.
Yeah. That was going to be my next point. But, no, I can't wait for it. I'll see it.
I'm big on Wes Anderson. I like his movies, and I like his style. Even Darjeeling Limited, which people don't really like. And also the other one that people don't really like, which is also... what was the one with Bill Murray as the scene? Life Aquatic, yeah. People really didn't like that, but I found...
That's the most mixed one, I believe.
It's very Wes Anderson,
It happens to be one of my favorite movies of all time.
It's also very touching at the end.
It is.
But,
Yeah, it has a soundtrack.
Yeah, with...
And the David Bowie score.
Exactly. And I'm excited for this one, too. I mean, it looks fun. It looks like... I actually really... I don't know why, but I was like, oh, Edward Norton? I'd actually really want to see him in one of these types of films where he's, I don't know like how he's going to be, but I like Edward Norton too, but just, it's kind of cool, looks kind of fun, looks like there's also going to be excellent music like in every Wes Anderson film.
Yeah, for sure. Like, if there's a person whose soundtracks I get excited for, Wes Anderson's certainly on the near the top of that list. And yeah, I do like the idea of seeing Edward Norton in this kind of movie, as well as Bruce Willis. It'll be nice to see him not play a cop who's on the end of his term. So
McBain?
Having him expand out a little bit of role. Yeah, I'm quite excited for Moonrise Kingdom. I like Wes Anderson movies all the way through. Like, there's not one that I dislike really. And I'm certainly excited for this one. So. Moonrise Kingdom opens May 16th. It's hopefully right around the time of Battleship and Men in Black 3 and during the Avengers. So, you know, if you take some time away from some of these giant movies, you can go see an obscure little indie comedy.
Hey.
Yeah, Bill Murray with an axe. I'm
there. He'll be all back, boys.
Okay, so we're just talking trailers today. With one last trailer, we have the 5-Year Engagement, which is a new film starring Jason Segel and Emily Blunt, and it's directed by Nicholas Stoller, who previously did Forgetting Sarah Marshall with Jaden Segel, as well as co-wrote The Muppets with Jaden Segel. So clearly these guys, you know, have a kinship together, and we also, you know, they're bringing in Emily Blunt to the game. So it's among the Judd Apatow brand of comedies. It's billed as from the producers of Bridesmaids, but yeah, what are our thoughts on this one?
It actually looks pretty good. I thought that it was going to be kind of like, kind of cheeky, fun comedy, but I like the people behind it, and I like the work that they've done previously, so I'm actually kind of in with this one. Jason Segel, I don't think he's ever really done anything I don't really like, and so I'm kind of in it.
Gulliver's Travels.
Well, yeah, I didn't see that one, but Emily Blunt, she's been around. She's also married to Jim Halpert in real life. So, I don't know. It actually looks kind of sweet and fun, and maybe there's all this awesome little twinge at the end there where you actually get emotionally involved. So,
yeah, I think it's going to be better than it has any right being, as I said before. It looks cute. Mm. I'll see it.
Got quite the cast going on here. We got Alison Brie from Community. We have Dr. Kirk Connors, or EC5. Chris Farnell, Chris Pratt from Parks and Rec. Kevin Hart. All 5'6" inches of him. Mindy Kaling from The Office.
Jackie Weaver.
Jackie, Brian.
From Animal Kingdom, which was a surprise, definitely.
That's a random pick. So quite the supporting cast. But yeah, in general, the vibe I got from the trailer, it looks cute for sure. And it looks like they're kind of mixing things up where you have, basically you have like these, it's a couple that they've gotten engaged, Jason Segel and Emily Blunt. And they keep putting off the engagement because Emily Blunt's gotten a job, it looks like, and her job keeps getting extended for them to be away from where they want to be living, want to be their more desirable area to live. And it's delaying the relationship. And it looks, I guess they're kind of mixing things up because Emily Blunt's the one who has the job, that she's the worker in the family, it seems. And it's throwing her some of the more, I guess, male dominated plot beats, I would say. That seems to be the idea that I'm getting from this. So.
Well, in the trailer, she gets to, perform a lot of the physical comedy. I mean, sure, Jason Segel lands on a fire hydrant, but we got, lots of really painful, humorous things happening to Emily Blunt. So that was exciting in terms of a comedy perspective. But it looks really predictable. I mean, I think we all know exactly what's going to happen in this movie. So yeah.
Jason Segel murder Emily Blunt.
And laugh hysterically?
Life's a happy song, dude. Okay, so the 5-year engagement opens at the end of April, April 27th, right just in time for the Avengers. And I think we've talked enough about trailers. You got through quite a few.
I love that film to have some like David Lynch twist to it. It's like, what the hell is going on?
2 hours and 40 minutes long.
She becomes Patricia Arquette.
Okay, so I guess we've come to the main event of this one, because we're going to start with our review for The Hunger Games.
Yay!
Want to see what I got you today? It's a Mockingjay pin. As long as you have it, nothing bad will happen to you. I promise.
Welcome and happy Hunger Games!
I just love that. Ladies first.
Primrose Everdeen.
No! I volunteer! I volunteer as tribute.
You're stronger than they are.
There's 24 of us, Gail. Only one comes out.
No!
Take care of them, Gail. Whatever you do, don't let them starve.
Edna 17, the girl on fire!
What did you say to your sister when you volunteered at the reaping?
I told her that I would try to win for her.
And try you will.
I just keep wishing I could think of a way to show them that they don't own me. If I'm gonna die, I want to still be me.
I just can't afford to think like that.
Okay, so that was a little bit of the trailer for The Hunger Games, the new film based off the epic blockbuster book series that's been turned into a massively hyped film series, and it stars Jennifer Lawrence as Katniss Everdeen basically the setting of the film is about like 100 years in the future. North America has fallen and become the land known as Panem. And in Panem, there are several districts, and every year the districts are forced to choose one boy and one girl in between the ages of like 12 and 18 to participate in the Hunger Games, which is a deadly fight to the death between all the districts. And there's only one victor to emerge from these Hunger Games every year. Katniss volunteers after her sister is chosen, and because she's a younger sister, she doesn't want her sister to die. So she puts herself into place along with another boy that's from her district, Pizza Malark, played by Josh Hutcherson. And the two of them are on route to the Capitol, where they will meet with all the other competitors and train for the Hunger Games. And from there, we meet a collection of other characters, including Woody Harrelson as the mentor figure, who is a previous winner of the Hunger Games. Lenny Kravitz as their stylist. Elizabeth Banks is in here. Donald Sutherland's the president of the whole Panem. And eventually we get to Katniss and Peeta, along with the other 22 competitors, I'd add that, 22 competitors, and they participate in these deadly, deadly games. So, with all that said, all that out of the way, Liz, what did you I like that. I like the mystery involving who I'm going to choose. I was peeping. Liz, what did you think of The Hunger Games?
Well, I've never been a fangirl of anything, but I've read every book and I really ate up Hunger Games. Oh, I didn't even mean that.
Hey-o. Oh, whoa. Studio audience. I don't know why my audience think of that one.
But basically, I loved the first hour. I thought all the changes from the book were rightfully changed to add an emotional meat to the film that would have taken a lot longer to do. That, you know, because you have 300 or so pages in a book to do that. But I thought as soon as the game started, I lost a lot of the emotional connection to the characters because no one really seemed to be scared once they were in the arena. And I think that was a major element that was completely lost in this film. So I would say for the most part, I enjoyed myself, but I couldn't help but be disappointed.
Yeah, Jordan?
Yeah, I was a bit disappointed too. I think it's the most rushed 2.5 hours since Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire. It's rough around the edges. I didn't like how none of the other competitors were fleshed out, and most of them, you don't even see them die off screen. Although that's a problem the film shares with the book. The ending I thought was just so anticlimactic. I don't want to spoil anything, even though I feel most people already know what it is. Well, the dogs, okay? I thought that was just thrown out there and no buildup at all. And I love that Toby Jones was in it for like 10 seconds. He has like one line and he looks terrified. However, there are great scenes in the film. I loved the whole reaping scene. I thought it was fantastic.
Yes.
I loved how it was played without any score at all. Which brings me to the score. When it was there, I thought it was flat. It just was a distraction, I felt. Abe, what do you think?
I thought it was an okay movie. I didn't really think that it was like unprecedented, or it was not anything that was, you know, so groundbreaking that everyone has to go out and rush out and see it. I finished the book pretty easily. It's a pretty easy read. And again, I think this is more geared toward, I guess, the 12 to 16-year-old audience, maybe even younger than that. And I think for that cause, it's fine. It's a good movie, and I think that they'd enjoy it too. But for me, it really wasn't anything too great. It was actually kind of disappointing, like what you guys had said. I think that, to be fair, I think that they did a pretty good adaptation of the book. For the time given on the screen, they were able to use some of the side characters like Stanley Tucci to, you know, convey some of the meaning behind some of the actions that these characters are doing. They set up the scenario pretty well in the forest. Unlike Liz, I actually found the beginning, maybe like the first hour, you know, where the reaping stuff is, I found that to be pretty boring, just as I found it to be boring in the book too. And that touches upon what Jordan had said, which is I found that just didn't really convey anything to me. I never really got a full sense of who these people are, what they're doing, why they're, you know, so, I guess, perturbed by Panem's government and whatever else. But once the game started, it started to pick up. Obviously, there are differences, but that's not anything that the movie could handle any better. I think the movie handled it pretty well. I would say that for me, the most touching part of the book was also the part with Rue, and in the movie, it's good. I'm glad that they, you know, were able to spend enough time on it there. So, I mean, overall, is it terrible? No, but is it very good? Not really. So it's kind of just okay for me.
Okay, I do think it's very good. I was very pleased with this movie. Going into it, I've read the book too as well. So I guess we've all read the book. Good for us, guys. We're all readers. I was going into it, I was fairly excited because I enjoyed the book well enough, and like I liked the talent involved in the film, and I came away thinking that it was a very good movie. I think I'm the most positive between the four of us. I think it does have a share of problems, which we'll get to more, I guess, but for the most part, I think the movie works well, mainly due to Jennifer Lawrence. I think she's really solid throughout this entire movie. knowing what I know about her, I liked her in Winter's Bone. It's obvious. I can see why she got an Oscar nomination for that. And she was actually my main problem. She was one of my main problems with X-Men First Class. I didn't really like her in that movie. So seeing her here in the Hunger Games, I was really happy to see her bring it. I liked the emotion that she brought throughout this movie in the various points where she has to kind of show who she is, develop this character early on, and then show the skills and athleticism and various independent thinking that she has to do during these deadly, deadly games. I guess one of the main issues is, yeah, we don't really learn about other characters in this, which is the same as the book too, where you don't really learn anything about anyone else in this one. It didn't really matter too much to me. I thought focusing it on Katniss is the kind of way to do it, and I liked how that played out. I liked how it played out early on with like the reaping scene you mentioned, which was really well done. I liked that a lot. I liked how it set up, I liked a lot of the world building here. I liked how it set up the District 12 and then the Capitol and then the arena that these people were all set in. I really liked how all of that stuff was fleshed out. I liked the various supporting performances too. There's not a lot to do for a number of these people, but people like Woody Harrelson or even Stanley Tucci, who just basically gets to chew up the screen while wearing an impressively blue wig. They're just fun people to watch on screen. I can see there's certainly a lot of setup for things to come, I guess. I have not read the other two books as of yet. I've only read the first book.
Sounds like so shock. I guess
I heard the gasp.
You're not interested.
Let's just get more into different details. But from the first part, yes, I did really like the movie a lot.
In terms of like...
Well, for me, like, the actual games were so disappointing because... Like, the first hour I thought was pretty solid, and especially, I love the scene when she's about to emerge onto the field and she has that moment with Cinna. I thought that was so
good. That's the best scene.
My heart was pounding, and then right when the game starts, I felt all the tension just kind of faded away.
Really?
Going
by the way it's shot, or just, like, how? Because
yeah, like, right when, like, the whole shaky cam started, like, it just kind of started disappearing for me, the tension, and by like 10 minutes in, I was done with it.
I'll say this about the shaky cam, because okay, the shaky cam is a big element throughout this movie. Like throughout the movie, it's shot basically like it has kind of a documentary style mix of shaky cam during the action sequences. By shaky cam, for those who don't know what we're talking about, we refer to like kind of the Jason Bourne effect of putting the camera very close and very in the moment with you. So it's like you're feeling the action, but without the nausea. Well, with nausea, but without the 3D. But in this film, it's used heavily during all the action sequences where the camera's very close. It's very kind of right up in your face. And that did bug me later on in the film as it kept going, because it just, frankly, it was just dark in some scenes. It's just like, I can't really handle this added aspect to it of being way too close to some of the characters as they're, you know, throwing each other around. But in that first scene, when they enter the games and just crap starts to go down and people getting killed and stuff, for a movie like this that's geared towards a younger audience for the most part, being PG-13, I really like the hectic chaoticness of it. I think I got what Gary Ross, the director, was trying to go for there of people, they just don't know what to expect. And the camera's kind of, it's equally moving around almost at random of just showing glimpses of violence happening and things going on and...
It wasn't terrible at all, but it just wasn't exciting as like a simple look between the two characters, like the scene before. Yeah. I think
the shaky cam was actually okay. I really liked it. I actually liked it more as a visual effects tool when, say, she's stung by the wasps or the I forget what they're called,
tracker jackers.
Yeah, I thought that was actually really clever. The way that they were able to use that, and it was like, oh, this is kind of something that I don't really expect or see too often. So it was a clever use. I really don't mind it that much, actually. It's not as bad as, like, I guess it's not really overused as some of the other things. But in terms of, like, the bloody mess in the beginning, I agree with Aaron. It was fine. I think that it was there to establish the tone that, you know, this is not a friendly game that they're going to go play. It's kind of something that these kids are going to die, and it was kind of a bummer. I heard some of the parents kind of gasping. And it was just like, yeah, it's kind of a tough thing to swallow, I guess, you know, to see these, even though they're gasping
because of they've taken their kids to see this because they're big fans of the books and they have no idea what they're getting into.
Yeah, or they're just like, yeah, hey, kids, I'll just go with you to chaperone. They're like, oh, crap, I shouldn't have brought Billy. But I think it was enough to establish what's going on, but it falls off from that point. And even like it falls off to the points where you're starting to see Katniss's skills in the wild. Her skills, her strategies for surviving the wild, everything like that. It kind of just rushes through it. But again, I can't fault it for that, because you're already halfway through the movie by then. You don't want to sit in your chair for another like hour and a half or 2 hours. So it's not really anything that is poorly done. I think that it was actually okay adapted. But I mean, that's just for some of the action sequence.
I think it's tough because this is a PG-13 movie. And the thing that attracts a lot of readers and viewers to this film is the fact that it's an incredibly dark subject matter. I mean, it's little kids killing each other, and I may be a sadist, but I really wanted to see some of that darkness come out. And I think that's why the film loses the tension. Mm-hmm. So like when we look at these little kids battling each other, when you see the littlest of kids reach their fate, I won't say what happens, but I think you know, it cuts away and it does violence off camera. And I think if they cast kids that looked, you know, a little bit younger and a little bit less professional, a little bit more awkward about what they're asked to do, it would have been more interesting and more, I guess, darker.
See, I guess I just disagree with that. Well, I do think there are some young kids in here that we do get to see and see them meet their, they're making cotton candy in the sky. But going into this film, knowing that, yes, it is geared towards a younger audience, but it is a PG-13, there's definitely you have to manage that struggle of how do you portray what's going on, what kind of subject matter we have here versus we need to, you know, target a mass audience. And there's something to be said for how the themes are expressed in this movie, which we can get to. But in terms of capturing it on camera, I felt like I didn't find that I lost the emotion from the scenes based on how it was portrayed in this film. I was still kind of connected with what was going on and feeling the dark stuff felt appropriately dark without going way too, like, it's not Battle Royale, it's not a hard R-rated movie. It needs to purposely be this way to be seen by the people that are, you know, the very audience for this movie. Like,
yeah, I understand the rating. It's PG-13, but I do agree that it kind of takes away from some of the harshness and some of the visceral feelings that you would get if you had, you know, either read the books or you're expecting something else. Because
I'll put it this way. Honestly, I thought it was bloodier than I was expecting it to be.
Yes and no. I think that, I mean, again, it's, I'm not going to disagree with it because it's PG-13, but it's just more, it would have been nice if there was, I guess, some more, I don't know, the darker themes that what Liz had been talking about. So it would have been nice if they explored some of that stuff a little bit further. But again, time constraint, whatever else, it is what it is for the group of folks that it's for.
Yeah. Well, they could have done it in a political through line. Like, it alludes to, actually, what I thought was an allusion to a 1960s civil rights movement, yeah, with District 11, yeah. You know?
Oh, yeah.
And the whole fire hoses, right, and the riots. And I thought maybe the film was going to take some sort of argument about modern day society and apply it to the story, you know, make some argument about Occupy. Or I have no idea. I mean, I'm grasping at straws right now. But I think that also would have helped it if it made some sort of a statement instead of just showing the book.
That's an interesting point that you bring up.
That's something I agree with as well, to an extent. Like, I bring it up in my written review about the film as well. It teases a lot of themes involving poverty and government control and who's watching, right, you, and even commenting on reality television. And the film only kind of, it brings up some of these issues, but it really doesn't dive into any of these issues. It really wants to focus on being an exciting thriller mixed with kind of a character study for Katniss, yeah, in general. And I'd be curious to see where the sequels go. Well, again, I haven't read the other books, and I don't know how that's going to play out, whatnot. I guess my more hope, we can talk about the romantic angle of the story in a bit. But I don't know where that's going. But in this first film, you don't see a lot of things handled in terms of thematically what is all of this supposed to mean. If there's anything else to grasp onto, you just kind of get glimpses of, yeah, there's, these things are happening. But with that said, I do kind of like some of the touches that they do hint at, like, right, that there's that riot thing, and there's even just the setup of the world of District 12 and that poverty life. And then you have something like Elizabeth Banks comes in as this gaudy, made-up, effy trinket character who's just so proper and nice, and you see the Capitol where it's like the Roman Senate of people have been just short of having an orgy. They're just having makeup parties or something.
Pretty much, yeah.
And just seeing the kind of class struggles and things like that. And at the same, there's also the, so there's that element. And then, yeah, we can talk about, I guess, the characters as well of not knowing really what they're thinking about all this beyond we need to, there's beyond the visceral, we need to kill each other or else, or that kind of initial response, but like, what else is going on with them? What else do they think about all this? You get maybe some touches of this with some of the characters.
I think it's mostly PETA's remark at the windowsill kind of thing. But again, they really don't touch upon it anymore.
Yeah, even Cato has a line.
he has that short speech he gives.
Yeah, but it's very ephemeral. It doesn't really last that long. It doesn't really give you any sense of, oh, wow, you know, this is like a really big thing to these kids where it's like, if they don't do this, then they're going to die. It's not like they don't want to kill people. It's just like, it's such a conflict. And then after like 2 seconds of it, they're just like, all right, yeah, we're going to go get some makeup now. And it's like, I wish that they had done something more to the effect of, like, this is, like, a really big issue of this government control. They really want to keep us down, and they do these games just so that we suffer even more, and we understand that we're in debt so much to the government and whatever else. But, yeah, they really don't. And I think that that's an issue to some degree, but at the same time, again, I don't think that the kids that are watching it would be, like, why are all these old people talking? You know, it's kind of just. I'd really like to see Donald Sutherland just give like this giant monologue about, you know, I don't know, I don't know what, but it'd actually be pretty interesting. But again, I just can't. I like all these faults that it has, but at the same time, I can't fault it for having them.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But the casting, just overall, was fantastic.
Great. I really enjoyed the cast.
Even like the actor played Cato, the actress played Rue, had Orphan in it. The girl played Orphan as the...
That was her.
The one with the knife.
Oh, yeah, okay, that was her. Yes.
They all had, you know, just very strong...
I knew I'd seen that face before. Really,
yeah.
Nice.
Even like Wes Bentley.
Wes Bentley, who appears out of nowhere. Like, yeah. Where's Wes Bentley been besides Ghost Rider, which we talked about before? Like, Wes Bentley comes back, has like maybe like the most interesting facial hair since Satan. Like, I hope if Angelina Jolie's leg has a Twitter feed, I hope Wes Bentley's beard has its own Twitter feed. But seeing Lenny Kravitz, I actually really liked in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
For what he had, I mean, Woody Harrelson, I guess, is like the biggest supporting character in this film. But Lenny Kravitz, with the little he gets to do as Cena, who is basically he has this way of bringing out a positive reassurance to Katniss and Peeta that I really enjoyed. And seeing him, he's the stylist where he's supposed to basically design outfits for the different characters and make them presentable for the audiences to make them more likable. Because in the Hunger Games, you're basically, I like how I'm explaining the Hunger Games, like I'm assuming that people just don't know what it is, but I have to do that. But in the Hunger Games, you get sponsors during the games, and people can send you gifts on the playing field. And so if you're well-liked and people want to bet on you, they're going to try and help you out on the field by providing gifts for you. So Cena's character is supposed to he's supposed to make Katniss and Peeta presentable in the most glorious way possible. So he gives them like these like outfits that have literal fire coming off them and things like that, which is pretty – actually, I was happy to see some of that seen on screen. I was excited to see how that was going to look. It looked pretty good, but getting back to my point, Lenny Kravitz, I really enjoyed his relationship that he had with Katniss, and in the short amount of time that he had to convey a relationship in this one.
Oh yeah,
yeah. I think the supporting cast is great. I really enjoyed Woody Harrelson in this. Actually, he was really good. And again, yeah, I completely 100% back you up with the Lenny Kravitz thing. He took it pretty seriously. He's a pretty serious character in the book as well. The lines that he has, that's like one of like the better relationships in this movie that they portrayed, adapting it from the book, actually. So again, it's no fault of his own. I was kind of thinking, does he get a song at the end? But I don't think that he did. Also, I was gonna wait till the end of the movie to see if there's anything after the credits, and then the crew of the movie theater came in. They're like, spoiler alert, there's nothing at the end of the credits. Please just leave so we can get the theater ready. I was like, what? All right.
Enjoy your Taylor Swift elsewhere, boy.
You kids and your Taylor Swift these days.
Even Stanley Tucci also, because a little Tucci goes a long way.
Is he wearing veneers in this movie, you think? Teeth veneers in this movie, do you think?
Okay. I wouldn't be surprised.
Like, that was a huge smile that he's flashing.
Yeah, he had a George Harrison tan.
George Harrison.
Sorry, not George Harrison. What am I thinking of?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
I know who you're thinking of. What's his name?
Well, no, we're getting it right. Yeah, this is our 50th episode.
The guy from the chip commercials.
Yeah, the Ritz Crackers chips commercials.
And he's very famous. Oh, no.
Where is Godfather 3? He's in that. That's what I can think of offhand.
Oh, Marlon Brando.
George Hamilton.
Yeah. Yes.
George Hamilton tan. All of that will make it in the podcast. And, but yeah, Stanley Tucci, he plays like a game show host. Like, he's the Ryan Seacrest of children killing each other. And watching him kind of play this talk show host character who basically delivers exposition throughout the movie, it was fun just because it's Stanley Tucci and he knows how to play a scene. So I liked his role in here. Everyone else kind of hit. Let's talk about Josh Hutcherson as PETA. What are our thoughts there?
I liked him better in the book. I think he was serviceable as PETA because, he's got that broad look to him. But again, I think that they made his character a little bit more overt, or not overt, extroverted in the film adaptation. And
he comes off as weak, I would say.
Yeah, and you don't really get the sense of the inner struggle that he has, because they kind of outline that a little bit better. They flesh that out. Obviously, they have more time to flesh it out in the book, but he actually has like that inner struggle where even Katniss doesn't really understand until later in the book, where he doesn't really want to...
Where
his head's at, what he thinks about these games, what he thinks about himself in these games, and what he's representing. So it's kind of like, I think the gloss over it, maybe they're going to flesh it out later. Again, I'm not too sure. I haven't read the books either, so I'm sorry, Liz, the rest of the books. So maybe they do, some awesome stuff later. But I think that he was serviceable as this character.
Yeah, he was decent. I think what you alluded to earlier, Aaron, I think it was Aaron, the love story, it's almost as if the love story is just thrown into the last third of the film. And I was really hoping I wouldn't have to deal with like angsty longing and yearning in this film. But unfortunately, there's like a big clump of it with PETA and Katniss. But I thought Josh Hutcherson was fine. I thought Gale was fine, even though he was in 3 minutes of the movie. Yeah. But I look forward to the future because there is a lot more that happens with these characters.
I'm curious to see how that plays out. And seeing what's his name, Liam Hemsworth, yeah. Chris Hemsworth's younger brother,
Thor Jr.
Future star of Expendables 2, Liam Hemsworth as Gale in this movie. I like the two scenes of him sitting by himself,
like the okay face on his face.
Yeah, like, practically wiping away from his face.
Like, that's my friend. Oh.
I have picked this movie apart a little bit, but I really did like it a lot. I had a lot of fun watching it. I was really engaged throughout, and with the action, which I found to be, there was problems I had with it, I was still excited by what was going on. And again, I think a lot of it is credit to Jennifer Lawrence in this movie. I think she's a very strong lead, a very strong and capable lead, opposed to other book series featuring certain female characters. But
what are you insinuating? No, I know what you're insinuating.
But to your point about Jennifer Lawrence, I really liked her in this movie too. I think that she brought a lot of character that I didn't really get from the character in the book. And I hate going back and forth. It's not really something that's really fair to either or, because you have to take them separately. But she brought a lot of character. She brought a lot of emotion that was able to translate to me onto the screen. And so you could feel that she's really longing to really protect her sister. She's had it pretty rough since, her dad was in the mining accident. And so it's kind of just like, yeah, she's here because of one reason, which is to survive. And so she can go back and further take care of her family. So she played it pretty well. The little touches, like what you guys had said, when she's shaking like crazy with Sinnoh before she goes up to the grounds. I mean, little touches like that, her eye stares. Yeah, you can really tell why she's a pretty good actress that got an Academy Award nomination. So
especially given that she's, you know, in the book, it's, you know, told entirely from her perspective, yeah, and you're reading everything that, you know, she's going through. Here, she, you know, you don't want Katniss narrating her life out loud, because that would be weird. So you have her basically conveying so much of what she's going through on screen, and I think that was effective. I think that's why I felt like I was able to continue holding on to the, I guess, emotional aspect of the film, where I was able to, you know, keep on with enjoying what was going on, or at least being intrigued by how things were playing out in watching this film, for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd recommend it.
I'll speak to...
It's not terrible.
It's not terrible. No,
it's not a bad movie.
Especially for a movie like this that has so much hype by it, so much hype behind it, so much build-up, so much curiosity of what's going on. I can tell you certainly didn't hate the movie. No. None of us hated the movie. I'm certainly the most positive about it, but I'm happy that this movie, you know, succeeded in what it was doing for the most part for you guys, and in a lot of ways for me, and especially because I think the marketing was fantastic for this movie. Especially people that were, you know, unfamiliar with what's going to happen in this movie, I think they're in for a lot of good surprises in terms of seeing the actual games going on. Like, there's... I specifically looked at my watch to note how much time was spent setting things up before we finally get to the games, and it was an hour, if not less, before the games actually begin. And all the marketing does not show you what happens in these games. Right. And I was really intrigued by that. I was really happy to see things play out. Like, in other trailers, you could have, in a lesser marketing campaign, there could have been a lot of spoilers for certain elements of the film, of what's going on, what's going to happen, where, you know, you see the standard movie trailer of, you get the whole movie in 2 minutes, and then you're like, well, I need to sit through 2 hours of this. So getting to have that experience of seeing a movie like this, that's, you know, it's a really big movie that everyone's going to see, but not necessarily knowing what I'm going to see in that movie, I was appreciative of that.
Right.
So. Yeah, I agree. I do agree with that too, which is just to say that it's not a letdown of a movie. It's not like, wow, you know, there's so much hype for it. It's not a Cowboys and Aliens kind of thing where it's like, yeah, this movie looks great. Yeah. Cowboys and Aliens, what more could you ask for? Daniel Craig? Harrison Ford?
Harrison Ford?
It's like, Grumpy? Yeah, these alien effects look great. You know, what are they doing in those cocoons? And then you see the movie, you're like, what? They need gold? What are they going to buy? So it's just... It's
stock options.
Blu-rays.
Stock. Yeah, Apple products. But it's not a letdown at all. I don't think that it's really anything that people are going to be like, well... Man, that sucked. You know, it's not a movie that sucks. It's just more of like, again, it's playing toward a pretty niche audience, and it has to make itself more available to a widespread audience as well. And so they're adding things in and out. And overall, they did a pretty effective job. I have to give them a lot of credit for that.
I just want to reinforce that I'm hard on it, but it's, you know, it's because I love it. And I had a great time. I wished it was an hour longer, and I know not many people would have enjoyed that, but I would have. But I do look forward to the second film, because I think the second film will be able to elaborate on a lot of things that the first film could not.
I'll be interested to see how the second film plays out, especially given that Gary Ross is coming back for the second film, I believe. Yeah, so I'll be curious to see how his... I have a very specific movie that I'm thinking of in regards to this first film that I can relate it to, and I'll be curious to see if he evolves and makes it more... like another movie that's also a sequel to this movie that I'm thinking of.
What?
So,
wait, are you making a Star Wars analogy?
No, I'm not. I'll get to it when we get to Insider because of.
Transformers?
I play things close to the vest here, guys. Oh. So, big hint, by the way. But
close to the vest. Tombstone, part two.
Don't worry about it. Shut up. Anyway, I think, yes, it is flawed. And I think we didn't touch on the Rush thing as much, but... yeah, Jordan, I do agree that it does feel rushed, especially in the finale. The third act is, if the movie, I wouldn't say it collapses, but it certainly, it there's like the final 10 minutes of this movie is just beat after beat after beat, just set up. It feels somewhat anticlimactic, and there's not enough time to let things kind of, I guess, resonate with what you've just experienced. Like, mm-hmm. you literally have, characters that have gone through a pretty big ordeal, and then the movie ends pretty quickly after that ordeal ends.
Yeah, and, yeah, it just tried to incorporate so many incidents from the book that it compromised many character and emotional beats.
And yeah,
it suffers from it.
And I wish it could have. I wish Gary Ross and his crew, because he also co-scripted the film along with Billy Ray, who wrote Shattered Glass and Breach, I believe, too.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah,
and Flight Plan.
And Flight Plan. And the author of the book, Suzanne Collins.
Yeah.
They all collaborated on making this first screenplay, and I am aware that Simon Beaufoy, who scripted 127 Hours and Slumdog Millionaire, he's tapped to write the second film, the second and third film. So I'll be curious to see how that process goes, because in this one, what's neat is that it doesn't feel like it's necessarily incorporating a lot of fan service by having certain aspects of this book. I think everything that's in the movie is because it needs to be in the movie. I don't think there's anything added necessarily that's like, well, they just put that in there because the book had it.
Right.
I wouldn't say that. It's like certain things, like maybe like little touches, like Harry Potter movies, something like that, where it's like you have these little bits and pieces that are purely there because they existed in the book to make fans
happy.
Mostly
in the beginning, just with like the cat, and then
There's little touches like that.
Yeah, there's nothing overt like later.
That's like dragging the narrative down so we can be like, hey, let's stop and look at this little thing over here because the book had it written this way. I don't think the movie does any of that at this point. And so I wish, I guess, that it's 2 hours and 20 minutes. It's a long movie. And yeah, like Liz said, it could have either been an hour longer and really fleshed out some of these characters more and maybe fleshed out some of the themes more, which would have been more effective, yet a longer film. Or it could have been more judicious and just like stripped away some of these elements and really just got to the meat of the story as, I guess, a pure action movie. But it tried to find a careful balance in between. And again, I really enjoyed the movie overall, so I was fine with it. But yeah, I do acknowledge that there are, you know, various issues involving how to bring this narrative around cinematically. And that's it. The book's not perfect either. So.
No, it's not. And as I said before, it shares many of the problems with the book.
So any final thoughts on The Hunger Games before we get to our rating?
I feel like I'm torn into it. But no, it really is a good movie. It's not a huge disappointment at all.
You're saying you're full and there's no time for leftovers?
Wow.
Hunger Games? Liz, any other thoughts?
No.
That was very proactive of you. Okay. Any thoughts from our audience?
That was really good.
Okay.
Cool time.
Okay, so then let's get to our rating of the film. Each week on Al, we try to rate the films that we watch based on a kind of when you should go and see this movie. And we have a scale for that goes from IMAX to theater, Dollar Theater, Netflix, HBO TV, and just kind of forget about it. I will start, and I will say that I saw this film in IMAX, and I was happy with seeing it in IMAX. You can go IMAX or theater on this one. Even with the shaky cam, IMAX didn't hurt it. I enjoyed it. It was glorious 2D, so I was happy with that. So yeah, that's where I stand. Jordan?
Yeah, I'd say theater. Maybe not. I can't imagine and paying for an IMAX for this. But you know, matinee, you won't be disappointed.
I'd say Netflix. You can see this on a comfy couch with you and your friends and nice TV screen, and yeah, enjoy it.
And Liz?
And to round it out, I say theater full price.
Cool.
I just like eating popcorn. So I'll always say theater.
All right, so let's move on to our box office segment. We should really have like a cha-ching sound when we say box office segment.
All right.
Yeah, we gotta start adding that. Audience. Okay, so last week we tried to make predictions for what we thought the Hunger Games would make in its opening weekend. One of us is way off, and one of us is still way off. Abe, what did you remember predicting?
70 million, and I think it's already at 68.
Yeah. Gerard predicted 85 million, and I predicted 99 million. And it's made 68 million in its opening day. Does that include the 19 and midnight shows?
I think so.
I think, okay, so 68 million in one day alone. Quite high. It's going to end the weekend with around 140 or 50 at that rate. So kudos to Hunger Games for making back its budgeting and marketing costs already. But the Hunger Games, I should know. And actually, I guess I should note that some of the CG is a little weak. I think we'd all agree on that. Some of the CG is a little weak. But that said, I still think it's a good looking movie. Well shot, actually, I would say, for a lot of it. It's a good cinematography. But anyway.
Have they announced when they're going to shoot the second film? I'm sure we'll all hear it in the next few days.
Very soon. I guess because they just tapped Simon Beaufort to write it, so I guess they got to write it first and then soon. I'll be curious to know, I guess, if the film is being shot in fast track so they can have it out next year, or if they're going to wait an extended period of time. I guess to see if the hunger dies down. It's gonna make 140 to 150 million. So that's we're recording this actually a day earlier than when we usually do box office. So we don't have full stats because I'm sure everyone really likes knowing the box office stats 3 days after the Sunday announcement is. So regardless, or whenever you watch,
true fans like it.
So let's move on then to one of our new favorite segments, Instead or Because of, you should watch this, formerly known as Retro Review, where we talk about a couple films that relate in some way to the main feature of the week. And, okay, so let me tip to what I was alluding to. Batman Begins is what I thought of a lot during this movie. I say that because Batman Begins, similarly to The Hunger Games, is, you know, it's the first in a series, which will be a trilogy by the time it ends, I guess, with Dark Knight Rises. But it also features similar ways of action, where Chris Nolan, he certainly had an idea for how to shoot the action. It's very sporadic and chaotic, and you can't quite tell what's going on. And I guess it was supposed to resemble kind of a bat-like motions of a bat scurrying all over the place. It's excited, it's moving around and fighting. But at the same time, they're not the greatest action scenes of Batman Begins. And I think that follows the same suit with Hunger Games, where there's certainly an idea behind how they were shot, but I don't think it was fully pulled off in making it entirely effective. So Batman Begins came to mind. I also thought of Equilibrium a lot during this movie.
Me too.
Equilibrium. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, that's why we host this together. Equilibrium came to mind, just given the nature of the sci-fi world that we created, especially in the kind of District 12 area. And I had two Christian Bale movies that I thought of apparently those were things. And obviously Battle Royale comes to mind. I don't think anyone's not going to think of Battle Royale. Predator came to mind because I like, you know, man versus something movies. And Pleasantville. I rewatched Pleasantville this week because director Gary Ross did Pleasantville as well as Seabiscuit.
Yes, he does.
And I wanted to watch Pleasantville, and I did. You know, I was really satisfied with how good that movie still is. And instead of basically most failed popular book series adaptations, you should watch The Hunger Games. That's where I stand on that.
That's instead of Because of.
I filled it out. Abe, what did you think?
Because of Hunger Games, you should watch Predator, Running Man, Equilibrium. Equilibrium, I was just like, oh, nobody's going to guess Equilibrium. And there goes Aaron, stealing my thunder. and Gladiator, to some extent. After Roos thing, I was just like, you know, I hope that she just starts shouting out, like, are you not entertained? Like, while looking at a camera or something like that. But yeah.
That's kind of, there's a little Kato in that.
Kato, yeah.
You can phrase it like that.
Because of this movie, you should watch this. And instead of this movie, but anyway.
You could watch.
Yeah, but it's, I'll just say it.
What were you thinking? John Wick was almost the best?
Oh,
damn it. Damn you.
Is that what?
I'm putting the test in the show notes now.
No, I'm good, yeah.
Okay. Jordan.
Gamer came to mind a few times.
Jesus.
I hate that movie, but...
So do I.
It popped in a few times, and I was like, Gamer. And then, what was the other one? Instead of...
Battle Royale.
Yeah, of course, Battle Royale and Running Man. And films like Spartacus and Gladiator, of course. And Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants.
Obviously.
Studio audience. Okay.
Liz?
Oh, okay, I got a good one. Okay, so for Because of, people should see Series 7, The Contenders.
Oh, yes. There you go.
Which is
that in the show notes.
It's a great movie that's basically about a reality show about people killing each other to win, and I love it. And then instead of,
I believe Job is in that movie, if I'm not mistaken. Is Will Arnett in that movie?
Oh, now I'm gonna start researching.
I think he might be like an early Job role.
Well, while you look for that, instead of, I think watch Hunger Games because I think it's good.
Good one.
He is. Yes, he's the narrator of that film.
Oh, is he the host of the reality show?
Yeah.
It's a really interesting film that a lot of people have not heard of, and it frustrates me a lot that they haven't. So
that's a good one. Mortal Kombat.
The Super Mario Brothers movie.
Priest.
Fuck off.
Sucker Punch. Apollo 18.
Shut up. Get away. Okay, so moving on. Let's do some celebrating. This is our 50th episode, as we pointed out many times, and I think I talked about a contest. What we're doing. No kind of cheering, I guess.
Oh, okay. Woo! Production.
Jordan breaks my microphone. Okay. Okay, so we do have a contest. We have a contest, and we like doing our contests. If anyone wants to jump way back to episode 8, we still have a certain contest
open
of Thor. But new contest we have right now, starting, I guess, when you listen to this. In an email, I guess I'll explain this prize package first. This prize package we have, I've put together myself. It is various pieces of swag and some other stuff. It is a backpack. That is contains, for one thing, a 3D Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter poster.
What?
That's right. It's a 3D poster. That's how cool it is.
Oh, my God.
I should not be giving this away, but no. I am. And, yeah, it's a pretty cool freaking poster. So that, and I'm also putting in a number of DVDs and Blu-rays that I just felt like assembling. It is literally one of the most random collections of DVDs and Blu-rays you could have in one set. And I'm not even going to name what they are, but I'm just saying.
What's one of them?
What's one of them?
Yes.
One of them is a movie that we reviewed on this show.
Mm.
And another one.
Doesn't
narrow it down. No, it doesn't. But it's a horror movie. I'll say that. And another one is Tim Burton's Batman. There's seven movies I think I got together.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Yeah. Quite a bit. So you certainly want to win this contest because it's probably pretty simple to do. Here we go. All you have to do is email us at outnowpodcast@gmail.com. I stuttered. Okay. You have to email us at outnowpodcast@gmail.com. And there's a number of things you need to do. You need to send us the title of your favorite movie that we have reviewed on this show. Send us the name of your most anticipated film of this year besides Dark Knight Rises, and you need to answer us this question: what were our favorite movies of 2011? What was Abe's favorite movie of 2011, and what was my favorite movie of 2011? And I should note that you might need to do a little research to find out what my favorite movie of 2011 is. It's not the easiest thing to immediately know, unless you've been, a faithful listener to the show or listen to my Twitter rants. So yeah, there's that. And I'm sure there's plenty of downsides to this contest I haven't thought of, but just be the first to email to us, and I'll guess I'll limit it to the United States and Canada.
Other countries
to avoid those international shipping costs. So let me recap those instructions again. Email us at outnowpodcast@gmail.com. It's all in the show notes anyway. And send us the title of your favorite movie that we talked about last year on the show as a review. Your name of the most anticipated film you have for this year that's not The Dark Knight Rises. And answer us the question of what were our favorite movies of last year, 2011, Abe and I's favorite movies. And we will, reward that first person. I'll reward that first person that emails us with that prize package, and I'll send, Abe edits all that out, and I'll send like the next two people some runner up prize as well.
First, second, and third, baby.
First, second, and third.
And guests of the show.
Guests of the show cannot participate in this contest. I'm sorry.
Lame.
Okay, so we're gonna do a little more celebrating. You know what? Before we get to what I had intended, let's give a little praise to the people that have done things for Out Now, such as giving us iTunes reviews and giving us likes on Facebook and whatnot.
I completely agree.
Yeah, we have a good hefty dose of likes on this page, and I know there's a good hefty dose more people that listen to this. I guess people that just don't use Facebook and don't care, and. We're very happy that, everyone that's been listening to our show for however long has, continued to listen to our show. It's certainly fun to do every week, and we're gotten to we've done more than 50 episodes, but we're saying this is our 50th episode because it technically, episode number wise, we've numbered it that way. And, you know, we look forward to doing this every week, Abe, right?
Yes, we do. I do.
Yeah, I do, for sure. And, you know, it's nice to have a certain set of people that certainly do listen to the show weekly or whenever they do and whenever they can catch up with it. And we're quite grateful for all those people that, you know.
Yeah. We've grown a lot since just having Aaron's mom and one of my friends listen to the show.
That's how we began, but we've continued on, and it's rewarding to do every week, and we have fun. So thank you guys and thank you to all our guests that come on too, including Jordan, who's been on maybe the MVP of the series,
thank
who's
you.
Been on maybe the most, and even newcomers like Liz, who's been on
me
episode here.
Thank you.
She's part of the Out Now family now, because why not?
Woohoo!
We just like, you know, adding on more people that are, you know, like us, who enjoy films and maybe do some kind of writing or something like that involved in that area. And it's just fun to have more people on for our discussions every week. So thanks, guys, for, you know, coming on with us. And thanks to all the listeners who've been sticking with, especially those who've stuck around since Battle LA episode one of our crappy phone call conversation.
Those were back in the day, man.
There's no school like the old school, though, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, thanks to our studio audience for staying in.
You've got to get a photo and then post it on the show notes.
All of them. Okay. They've turned on us. Okay. But just for, you know, chicks and giggles, we decided that we'd do some kind of countdown, because every kind of anniversary show does some kind of countdown, right? So we're going to talk about our five worst movies we've talked about on this show for review.
Oh, man, I'm ready.
So why don't you start us off here?
All right. My number five of the worst movies that we had to review on this podcast. Number five, Cowboys and Aliens.
Damn, I forgot about Cowboys and Aliens, because we loved that together with Attack the Block on the same episode. So I kind of forget that the first half of the episode
begins. It was terrible.
I really hated The Thing a lot. I hated The Thing.
I remember that one. The original one.
Thing. All you guys were like very. You guys were lukewarm on it, or like you didn't hate it, but you didn't love it either. It was just kind of like, this exists. Yeah. But I just really hated that movie. It's, I'm saying The Thing is one of the worst movies we talked about.
My number four is Apollo 18.
Yeah, my number four is Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides.
But we had the boss. That, we had the Michael Bolton song in that one.
We had it was one of our first movies experimenting with various music tracks. But that movie, it made $1 billion. It's a terrible movie. There's nothing to get around it. Johnny Depp, he's funny and cute and stuff. Whatever. The movie sucks. It's a terrible movie, and I hate it.
Tell us how you really feel. Number three, Don't Be Afraid of the Dark. Had high expectations. Guillermo del Toro was my man. And then I was like, I was slumping in my chair waiting for this movie to end because it was so boring.
Yeah, my number three is a tie, Apollo 18 and Don't Be Afraid of the Dark. I wasn't afraid of the dark, and I'll just continue watching Apollo 13 and be a little more intense and, you know, thrilled about things.
Number two, Priest. Man, that was like a weird month that we had that one time where we did like three really crappy movies in a row.
Yeah, we really should have talked about Bridesmaids that week instead of Priest. My number two is Sucker Punch.
Oh.
Here, because I think I know what Abe's number one is.
Yeah, it's Sucker Punch, because that movie was terrible. And I was like, I remember texting you that afternoon I got out of the movie theater. I was like, fuck this movie.
And yeah, my number one is Priest, mainly because I can remember almost nothing about it.
Not even Cam Gigande?
Cam Gigande? You know what I remember about it? I remember Jendy Tarkovsky's opening animated sequence, because he's awesome. He did Samurai Jack, and he made, he made 5 minutes of a movie that lasts, I believe, like 79 minutes, yeah. And that those 5 minutes were decent. And then everything else went to hell pretty quickly, including Cam Gigande. Burlesque's Cam Gigande. Well, moving on. That was a little fun countdown. I guess we got some time here. We can do little games.
Yes! Woo! Yay!
And by games, I'm, of course, referring to games.
Fifty.
Okay. All right. So, thank you. All right. So, continuing on with what I'm really excited with my movie history app that I have on my phone, I'm going to take things that happened on today. Today is March 24th, and turn them into questions for you guys to answer. First to get three answers right, you know, wins.
Hopefully. Package the Ben Helsing 3D.
What?
You get a nice pat on the back.
Because I thought you were trying to cheat. I don't know how you pull that off, but you think you could. Okay, so let's see. Arlie Ermey was born on March 24th, 1944. He starred in over 60 films. Name three movies Arlie Ermey has been in.
Full Metal Jacket, Saving Silverman, and Dead Man Walking.
Just Jordan's nailing it off.
Awesome. Good job, Jordan.
Thank you. I know my Arlie Ermey.
Okay, here's it. This one might be obscure. Let's see if you guys can get this one. Okay. March 24th, 1960, Kelly LeBrock was born. What movie did Kelly LeBrock star in? It's a famous John Hughes movie.
Six and Candles.
Weird Science.
Weird Science is correct.
I was just going to name every John Hughes movie.
Pots and pans and boiling things. All right. Okay, here we go. Here's another question. Okay, so... Tied with one, Jordan and Liz. Abe, nothing. Okay, here we go. March 24th, 1972.
Damn it.
A very famous movie was released. This movie went on to inspire a trilogy.
The Godfather.
The Godfather is correct.
Wow. Shooting like Annie Oakley.
That's a woman.
This hilarious chemistry we have is great.
I was complimenting you.
No, that's a good thing. Thank you.
Okay. March 24th, 1974.
I was not born.
You were not born, no. The birth of this actress occurred, and I'm trying to phrase this as a question. Let's see. She has gone on to star in a popular sitcom, but was first made a splash in this film where she famously incorporated a musical device into conversation in a sexual manner. That's the PG-est way I can say that question.
Allison Hannigan?
Allison Hannigan is correct! From American Pie.
I was going with the splash reference. I guess it was Daryl Hannigan.
Yeah,
I was choosing my words carefully. Well, geez, Liz already got three.
Liz, questions, right? But let's, congratulations.
A lot of things.
Do I get a gift bag? Could I have that one?
Blu-rays in the April get the poster.
Just make a new email account, a fake email account, and you can eat.
I already left an Apple comment on your podcast mentioning how great Liz was.
We like that.
All right, well, we burned through the game pretty quickly. All right, then let's move on then. Let's move on to what we're going to talk about next week. Next week, we are talking about Wrath of the Titans. Grr. The Titans. And yeah, this is the sequel to...
Immortals.
To Immortals. To the remake of Clash of the Titans, the Sam Worthington starring remake, which was released a couple years ago and now has a big spiffy remake, big spiffy sequel to its remake. And yeah, that's coming out next week. Let's do a little box office prediction for it. And let's see. The first Clash opened pretty big, I believe, as I recall, and went on to make a lot of money, which is why there's a sequel to it. That's what I thought. Yeah, Clash of the Titans from 2010 opened to $61 million in its opening weekend and went on to make a hefty chunk of change, $163 domestic and probably something absurd worldwide. Yeah, $493 worldwide. So, with all that in mind, $61 million. It's coming out the week after Hunger Games. What do we think? What do we think? Wrath of the Titans is going to make in its opening opening
also
weekend.
Also, keep in mind that Mirror Mirror comes out that weekend too. That's going to like take at least like $2. Wrath of the Titans. Yeah, that's a tough one because I think that it would knock off Hunger Games.
I mean, that's the other thing. You gotta think of it.
I think people are getting Hunger Games out of their system. So I'm gonna go with first place, and I'll say a solid $50 million.
So you say it's gonna open lower than the first Clash? Well, I guess because there's so much out in the theater right now. Okay, Jordan, any thought?
I'm gonna say second $43 million.
All right.
Well, because Hunger Games.
That got it, yeah. Liz?
I'm just going to say $49 million because it sounds better than $50 million.
What place do you think it will get, first or second?
I'm going to defer to Abe. I'll just say first. That sounds good.
Okay. Cool. I'm going to say first place. Yep. You know, these things drop off. Hunger Games, everyone will see. Who else is going to see it? Only, you know, $30 million worth of people opposed to...
Okay, I'll do first.
Then. Okay, you're going first?
Yeah.
You want to stick with your number?
Sure.
Okay. That's tough, though, because there's two movies out. So I'll say 55. Cool. So yeah, okay, there we go. We'll see how that turns out next week, I guess. And are we looking forward to Wrath of the Titans?
Yes.
No.
Eh.
Oh.
I'm in the yes camp on that one. That said, I did not like the first Clash of the Titans movie. So, but tune into our commentary for the original Clash of the Titans movie, because that's one way to watch that movie. That's definitely an answer to that statement.
I provide some good trivia.
Yeah, you do. Anyway, I think that's going to take us to the end here. So that's going to do it this week for Out Now with Aaron and Abe. You can find all of my work at my personal blog site, thecodeiseek.com, where you can find all my written reviews, including a very lengthy Hunger Games written review and all the other, you know, shows for this podcast, as well as at ysubblue.com, where you can find all my coverage of WonderCon that I was posting throughout last week, as well as all the Blu-ray reviews and other good stuff from the guys that write on that side along with me. And you can find me at Twitter at twitter.com/AaronsPS3.
You can find more fun stuff at walrusmoose.blogspot.com. Two animals, walrusmoose.blogspot.com and twitter.com/walrusmoose.
Jordan.
You can go to damndirtyblog.blogspot.com.
And find all those blog posts bursting.
All those blog posts. There's like four of them. But they're awesome.
And Liz.
You can go to www.justseenit.com, or you can look up Just Seen It Reviews on YouTube and watch a bunch of snobby film students rip apart movies in entertaining ways. I didn't do a good pitch there.
But I pictured students with like black glasses holding up like actual movies and ripping them apart physically. I think you'd still be right there.
Better not be disappointed.
And make sure to check out all other episodes out of iTunes. You can find all of the episodes of Out Now, Theron and Abe there, along with at hhwlod.com. You can find our show there, as well as the other shows on that network, such as the Walking Dead TV podcast, or the Legion of Dudes, or Half Hour Wasted. Just a lot of fun shows that deal with comics and games and movies and stuff. They're just a bunch of cool guys over there, and we like being a part of their podcast network. This is our 50th episode, but we started like into our 20th, I believe, of Captain America.
Yeah,
but something like that, yeah. And it's certainly been a strong 30 episodes with them, so, cool. And you can, of course, find all our, some of the newest episodes and a few exclusives at outnowpodomatic.com. You can, of course, email us at outnowpodcast@gmail.com, especially if you want to enter our fantastic contest that we have set up here. And, of course, like our page at facebook.com/outnowpodcast. We post all the shows there and other updates and whatnot, so, you know, always good to be a part of the page. And until next time, so long.
And goodbye. Happy 50th.
Abe, do you like new movies?
I love new movies.
Do you like talking about trailers?
I love talking about trailers.
Do you like hearing box office results?
I love hearing about box office results.
On a counterpoint to the new movies, do you like talking about older movies?
I love talking about older movies.
And do you play games?
Sometimes.
Well, that's good, because Out Now with Aaron and Abe features both of us doing all of those things on a weekly basis.
Wow. Gee willikers.
Out Now with Aaron and Abe. If you've got an hour to kill, then you're in for some fun.
We are now recording, and this is Out Now with Aaron and Abe. I am Aaron, and of course, with me is...
Abe, what's up?
Now we have episode number 8. We are plugging away at this whole podcast thing. Out Now is a film podcast, of course, which has Abe and I discussing new movies almost weekly. We bring a little discussion about the latest movie trailers and box office results and predictions as well, along with a retro review that has to do with the main review. This week, we're going to talk about The Mighty Thor, the new Marvel superhero film.
We are now recording, and this is Out Now with Aaron and Abe. I am Aaron, and this is...
Abe, what's up, guys?
All right. This episode is brought to you by Half Hour Wasted Legion of Dudes Podcast Network, which is a first for this episode. As of now, we are now a part of the HHWLOD network and are available on iTunes for the first time. So that's exciting, right, Abe?
Yes, it is indeed. Yeah. And I'm really happy to be a part of this network, and we just want to shout those guys out.
Yeah. Wait, ask me if I know how much a gallon of milk costs.
You don't even know how much a gallon of milk costs.
Not like your sass.
Hold on, I gotta respond.
Okay, hold on.
Wait, say it again.
Do you even know how much a gallon of milk costs? You don't even know how much a gallon of milk costs.
You're right, I don't know. My life isn't so perfect after all. I should help with good deeds. All right, that's the end of that.
And they cut to the music like, you gotta be strong. You gotta be, you gotta be bad, you gotta be bold, you gotta be wiser.
You gotta be hard, you gotta be tough, you gotta be stronger. Okay, so why don't you say who you are?
I am Denise Denmark, Aaron's mother.
Jordan.
Oh, yes.
Would John Carter have been a lot cooler if it was just basically named Rush Hour 4 with Jackie Chan saying, Kata! All the time?
Okay, Abe. Editing note. Yeah. Mad about you or mad about Shu?
Anyone got marshmallows? Yeah.
Hello, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Abe.
And together we host Out Now.
With Aaron.
And Abe.
If you enjoy listening to a few guys have weekly chats about movies,
then you could be tuning into our weekly podcast,
Out Now with Aaron.
And Abe.
We discuss the newest movie releases,
newest trailers,
box office and older movies,
and then we play some games.
So tune in to Out Now with Aaron.
And Abe.
If you've got an hour to kill,
then you're in for some fun.